Kids, there are two options for you this morning. You can go outside and play with Ellen and Abigail. Yes, Abigail, you're going out? Yep. And Jeff. Awesome. Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. So you may head out the back door. Adults who are with them, if they want to come in for a drink, the drink can have fountain in the hall. Or if you prefer not to go outside, there are coloring pages here behind Ben. So we're just going to let the kids figure out which way they want to go. Have a fun time. Ben's going to join them. Nice. And anybody left who would like a coloring page? Okay. We've got some indecisive ones. Here we go. Oh, Grandpa Frank's going to go out. Very nice. All right. Let's pray again this morning. God, we thank you that you desire to teach us, that you desire to give us words from you, words that can come and actually words that we hear or express to us by feelings that we experience. Thank you that your words and your presence are meant to give us hope and meant to give us new pathways and are meant to give us confidence that you are near and that you're tending to and nurturing us. So God, would you give us freshness in your word today, inspiration for the journey. Amen. So I'm going to date myself and talk about when I was a child, and I'm looking at you two because you're the ones, only ones who have recess left. When I was a child, one of my favorite things about recess was holding the teacher's hand. Do you get to hold a teacher's hand at recess ever? No. Too bad. It really was my favorite time. So we would head out the doors for recess, and there would be a teacher on duty. And those who wanted to hold that teacher's hand, we would race to that teacher in hopes of getting to hold that left or right hand. And we really wanted to hold it for the duration of recess, but oftentimes the teacher would say, I'm going to hold someone else's hand now. What I loved about holding the teacher's hand at recess was that the teacher often walked at a very slow pace, different than the pace they took in the classroom. When they're walking amongst us or walking at the front, the pace was slow. The teacher offered comfort. The teacher attended to Catherine, how are you today? And listened to the many, many stories that I always had to tell the teacher. When we ran to that teacher in hopes of that comforting hand, it was a time that we could mingle close to the teacher, that we could enjoy a different pace. And that the attention again seemed to be just on us. But the pace of the teacher at recess was completely different than the pace of my dad when I was holding his hand. My dad walked at a very, very fast pace. And I remember having to run at times to keep up with him. I have this picture of me like running to keep up with my dad as he held my hand. At times feeling like I was being dragged. At times feeling like if I lift my feet off the ground, I would fly along beside him. My dad walked with intention to the destination. We weren't really talking. He wasn't really consumed by what I wanted to tell him. We were just going from here to there. But my dad's pace changed, when he had grandchildren. He slowed right down. He listened to them, tell him about their days. He slowed his pace. He followed when they said, oh, Papa, look at this. Oh, Papa, do you see that? Jordan loved to point out the shape of the clouds to Papa. Papa, that cloud looked like an alligator. And my dad, he would look at that cloud. He slowed his pace. It was one of his ways of really getting to know his grandchildren. Japanese theologian Kusiki Koyama, he writes about the theology of speed. And he suggests that human beings walk at a pace of about 3 miles an hour. And that Jesus, who was fully man and fully God, he loved to take on the pace of people. So he also walked at about 3 miles per hour. He goes on to say that he believes that this is the pace that God prefers, that it is a pace that allows God to interact with us, and that if we walk this speed, it is therefore the speed that God will take on. This view of God, this view of God as a 3-mile-per-hour God, reveals a God that chooses to move slowly, that when he walks with us, he's not in a hurry, and that he enjoys the journey as much as he enjoys the destination. I don't like to walk quickly. Terry can acknowledge that. I like to walk slowly, to observe, just to be slow. I think of the word to saunter. And when I looked up the word this week, I liked it, the meaning. It says the word saunter means to wander and to walk in a slow and a relaxed manner. And then it comes from the French phrase, à la santerre, which means to the Holy Land. And so when we saunter, when we take on that slow and relaxed manner, we can be thinking, perceiving, believing that our steps are actually taking us on holy ground. Psalm 23 creates a picture of a walk that God takes with us. It reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." So here God takes on the pace of what I think is a weary shepherd. On this walk, God companions the shepherd. He guides the shepherd to places of beauty, of green pastures, and of quiet water. The pace allows for stopping, actually for lying down. And on this slow-paced walk, the shepherd notes the sound and the colors of creation. Green pastures, quiet waters. And the gift of the walk with God is refreshment. Refreshment for his soul and the awareness that he lacks nothing. When I talk about my assumption being that this is a weary shepherd that God is walking with, it's because of how at the end of it, the shepherd notes that he is refreshed really, really deep down into his soul. And things are put back into proper perspective that really, in his life, he is lacking nothing. When I read this psalm, my thought is that the shepherd just enters it weary. And as he walks with God, as he takes on this pace of God, things within him really do begin to shift. We read from this psalm that he is both led and guided by God. And again, this pace of this walk invites him to look around with his eyes, to notice with his ears. I assume he's smelling the beauty of these beautiful pastures as well. He gets to meander beside quiet waters. And the pace is set by God. And this pace offers places of stopping, of being still, of letting his soul be refreshed. And in verse 3 of Psalm 23, that we read that God guides us, this shepherd, along the right paths for his name's sake. And there are many, many ways of looking at what the term right paths mean. But for today, I want us to think about the right path as being the path of God that he invites you into on that moment. That when we set out to go for a walk or a meander with God, that God is inviting us on to his right path. And he invites us to walk with him at a pace where we can listen, where we can see, where we can be absorbed, and where we can be refreshed. It's a path where we want to set technology aside, where we may want to take out our earbuds. I recommend that on some walks, even though I know music and podcasts give so much to us. But at times, we're invited to take out our earbuds so that we can hear from God all around us. And we walk in a way that we're not in a hurry. Canadian author Mark Buchanan writes of taking a slower walking pace with God. And he writes, I needed to slow down to catch up. I needed to slow down to catch up. I was going too fast for a God who seems in no particular hurry, who seems to enjoy the going there as much as the getting there. The God who incarnate in Jesus keeps turning to me and saying simply, come, follow me. I needed to slow down to catch up. In Psalm 25, we read this prayer, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. What do you think would happen if you offered this prayer before you headed out for a walk? Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. The psalmist chose to pause before he went out for a walk. We can imagine the psalmist drawing in a deep breath and looking around and then saying to God, show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Guide me. The pause at the beginning of the walk to focus our attention on God and to invite God in to be the one that reveals things that he desires for us to see and know. If we were to pray this prayer at the beginning of a walk, we really are inviting God to set the pace. And in praying, show me your ways, we are saying that we will take on the role of the observer, that what is before us, the pathways that we choose to walk on, we choose to let them be our teachers, to reveal things of God. We invite God to teach us, and we become the student. There is a pathway behind our home that I like to walk on, and it runs behind Laurentian Senior Public School. And on one side of the path is the open sports field, and on the other side is a forest, a narrow forest, but it's a forest. And there's a small creek that runs through it. And it takes me only about a minute to get to that path from my front door. And I often use this path at the end of the day or during a day just to clear my head or really to transition from work to not work at the end of a day. And on this particular pathway, I love to look for signs of God. It really is my prayer as I get on this pathway. I'm like, God, just show me something about yourself today. It is my prayer. And then I begin my walk, and I begin to really, really be an observer. I want God to show me something that speaks about himself or that speaks about my faith journey. And sometimes authors call these awe and wonder walks, that the whole purpose of this walk is just to go and be awed and full of wonder by the beautiful works of God. And what I love, because this pathway is so familiar and I have such easy access to it, is I get to walk on it in every single season. And it just reveals God in so many different seasons of my life and in created life. In the winter time, it really is my prayer. I often say, God, would you show me something that is alive in this forest when everything looks like it is dormant? And then all of a sudden, it becomes spring, and this forest that I have walked beside that has felt so dormant and gray and brittle, all of a sudden, the first signs of spring are daffodils. And I don't know how they got there. I don't know if the city planted them one time or the squirrels planted them, but there are daffodils that grow everywhere, and that which was dormant now becomes full of life and color. But daffodils have a very short season. And all of a sudden, the daffodils are gone, and now the willow trees begin to form buds, and the creek flows a little bit louder. And so God reveals himself to me, to us, through his creation when we choose to be observers. On these walks, I invite God to be with me. We know that God is with us, but when we say, God, would you walk with me again, it's an intentional invitation. I try to quiet my mind. I try to put aside the things of work and relationships that are calling me. And I just want my ears and my heart and my eyes and my mind to be available to that which God wants to give to me on that day. I love the words from Proverbs 4:25. They just describe how we might choose to walk with God. It reads, "Set your gaze on the path before you." Very much, set your gaze on the path before you. "With fixed purpose, looking straight ahead, ignore life's distractions. Watch where you're going. Stick to the path of truth, and the road will be safe and smooth before you. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked, even for a moment, or take the detour that leads to darkness. Set your gaze on the path before you." I also really appreciate the imagery found in an old hymn. And the words of the chorus are, "He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, as we linger there, as we take on God's pace there, no one has ever known." Scripture invites us to slow down, to pause, to see the things of God all around us. Psalm 119 also speaks to a pathway. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path." And at times, God reminds me of a verse of scripture, a verse from his word that he has spoken. And I take that word with me as I walk, thinking about it, mulling it over, sometimes saying it out loud, and recognizing that, God, your word is a lamp to my feet and it is a light unto my path. I'm going to read a poem that was written by Christine Sine. And I'm going to read it once through, and then I'm going to read it a second time more slowly. And as I read it, I invite you to imagine yourself on a walk with God, that you are enjoying the view, that you are enjoying the pace, and to allow a sense of awe to come. "Now I walk through the wonder of God's world, perhaps a forest, perhaps a beach, a waterway, or through an urban street. Now I walk with my 3-mile-an-hour God, creator of the universe, who loves to move slowly, never in too much of a hurry, to enjoy the unfolding journey. Now I walk, paying attention, noticing, awed through familiar landscapes that deepen my appreciation, yet always revealing something new." I'm going to read that again a little more slowly. And as I read, picture a place that you like to walk. "Now I walk through the wonder of God's world, perhaps a forest, perhaps a beach, a waterway, or through an urban street. Now I walk with my 3-mile-an-hour God, creator of the universe, who loves to move slow, never in too much of a hurry, never in too much of a hurry to enjoy the unfolding journey. Now I walk, paying attention, noticing, awed through familiar landscapes that deepen my appreciation, yet always revealing something new." In Luke 24, there is a story, a narration of how a walk of two of Jesus' disciples was interrupted. I'm going to read for you the passage. It says, that same day, Sunday, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles out of Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking of Jesus' death, when suddenly Jesus himself came along and joined them and began walking beside them. But they didn't recognize him, for God kept them from it. And Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" Earlier in the sermon, we were talking about us inviting God to join us. Show me your ways, teach me your pathways, guide me. But in this situation, on this walk, Jesus comes and joins. And they can't quite see who it is at the beginning. My encouragement for us is to know that we don't walk alone. That Jesus is present with us, even when you and I might not be able to see him at that moment. And Jesus joined them on their walk, and he began walking beside them. And as he walked beside them, he asked them a question. What are you discussing as you walk along? What are you thinking about as you walk along? What do you need as you walk along? And so in days where maybe you don't have the energy, maybe the faith to say, Jesus, will you join me on this walk? The other thing that we can do is we can observe when and where and how Jesus has joined us on our walk, as it were, without an invitation. And maybe, just maybe, you allow Jesus to ask you the question, what are you thinking about? What are you talking about? What are you concerned about? What are you lacking? And as Jesus joins the walk with you, slowly and slowly, you will begin to see, this is Jesus who has chosen to walk with me at my pace with love, offering refreshment to my soul. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you choose to walk with us, that you come with an invitation from us, or you come knowing that we desire a companion on our walk. God, thank you that you like to take on a pace that is slower. Thank you that you listen to us, that you are curious with us. And thank you that as we walk physically with you, you are all around us, that your creation reveals so much about who you are. God, help us to be people of faith who invite you to join us, to say, now I begin my walk with you. Would you reveal new things to me? Amen. Summers are a little bit more simple at the Gathering Church. So our snack today, there's some granola bars in the basket at the back table if you would like one. Our kitchen is still under renovation. We're hopeful in the next couple of weeks we open up and we'll have a little bit more access to items. Also on the back table, there are little journals. And my encouragement to you, if you'd like, is to take one and record each day, where do you see evidence of God? Where did you see evidence of God in your day? Whether on a walk outside or in your journey of the pathways of life, that we become observers of God's presence and what pathways God is teaching us from. I offer us this benediction. As you leave this place, may you know the living Lord who walks with you. May God walk behind you to encourage you. May God walk beside you to befriend you. Above you to watch over you. and beneath you to lift you from your sorrows. May God walk within you to give you the gifts of faith and of hope and of love. And may God always walk before you to show you the way. Go and walk with God this week. If you'd like prayer this morning, I'm here. Amen.